now on item number 5.
Thank you.
From the Interim Director, Department of Health and Human Services, requesting authorization to provide home funds to Jewish Family Services to construct housing for low-income seniors located at about West Bradley Road and North Sherman Boulevard.
Yes, good morning. This is a report which is authorizing home funds to Jewish Family Services to construct housing for low-income seniors. Again, this is another one of the projects that we've been working on in the housing division, and Mr. Gary Batani is here, who is the coordinator of the home project, as well as the developers, and someone from Jewish Family Services that can talk about this more specifically. Gary, you want to give a little bit of the background?
Good morning.
Here, Gary.
I hope this works better. Jewish Family Services proposes to build a 4.1 million 33 unit project in Brown Deer, which is across the street from an existing project. It's phase two of an ongoing operation that they've successfully started. They have asked Milwaukee County to participate to the tune of $550,000 in home funds that would help fund 10 of these units. We have with us today Mr. Sylvan Liebman from Jewish Family Services and Mr. Stephen Schnell, who's actually with General Capital, the developer of the project, and they would like to tell you more about what they're proposing.
Okay. Mr. Liebman, next?
To my right is my name is Toby Libber. He has been appointed as the executive director of JFS Housing Inc. He's been on the job 1 week.
I won't be saying much.
Deerwood Crossing is a 66-unit affordable housing complex at 4195 West Bradley Road in the village of Brown Deer. It opened up and licensed as an RCAC, all 66 units for assisted living. The Deerwood Crossing opened up on June 28th, filled by the end of August. We have a current wait list of 325 individuals. This proposal would expand Deerwood Crossing with an additional 33 units with a connector building to the original building. Basically, this would be 60% two-bedroom apartments and 40% of the units would be one-bedroom apartments. The amenities that were developed in the first phase are large enough and were anticipated to cover about 100 apartments. So the community room, the dining room, the library, the fitness center, the sunrooms, the second kitchen where we have nutrition programs for seniors are large enough to accommodate the additional 33 apartments. These would also be licensed as RCAC for assisted living, and we have a mixture of independent and assisted in the building. So we have a lot of people who are independent, and as they get older and need more assistance, they move into the RCAC status. And this proposal would help us construct 11, if I'm correct, units of the 10 of the 33, specifically directed towards lower income individuals.
Before we start? I do. I just wanted to add, I'm Steve Schnall with General Capital Group. We developed the first phase, 66 units at Deerwood Crossing. This body did not participate or make a home contribution in that particular first phase. It wasn't necessary, but this body did approve a $500,000 home participation allocation for a project right across the street, which is supportive housing, and we call that Bradley Crossing. The reason the first phase of Deerwood, the elderly assisted, did not require any assistance is it was a 9% tax credit awarded project. So the power of that credit is very evident to us. This is going to be a bond-financed second phase, which was always planned. We anticipate WIDA would issue the bonds. That does give rise, as I believe in your committee report, to a 4% credit on the affordable units, the 10 units. So it's not that much equity. There's a big gap. We're trying to fill it, and your help with this request would be tremendously appreciated and would go a long way in filling that gap. Thank you.
How much of a leftover gap is there?
You know, it's a sliding scale right now, to be honest with you. We're underwriting with WIDA, and they're looking at some of the service income.
Okay.
There will be at least a six-figure gap. We believe we know how we'll fill it, and that's, quite honestly, using that 4% credit to a sort of an off-market tax credit sale, if you will, transaction, something that you probably can't achieve in the marketplace, but if everyone pulls together, the developer, GFS with some equity, we think we can make it work. We're certain we can make it work with your help, you know, with those funds circled from the county.
Questions by committee members? Supervisor Lipson.
Thank you. I've watched the site, redevelop over the years, and they all seem to be, you know, very good projects. But I do have some question on the structuring, financial structuring of the deal. Two items in particular that don't seem to be in the sources is the tax credit equity, which shows as zero, and then the TIF proceeds of 262. So I'm wondering, are those why do I not see those, and is that part of what's
the tax credit proceeds are embedded in the $910,000 of equity. So what we're saying is it doesn't matter if General Capital buys these credits because there's really no other market for them, or whether JFS produces additional equity into the project. We need a total of $910,000 if our loan with WIDA is $2,675,000. We've been negotiating and re-underwriting some of the operational income very recently, so I think that loan is going up. The $910,000 is going down. But that 910 will still result in a number, a gap. There will be a number. It's just not 910. It's a sliding scale at this point, depending on what WIDA approves.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry, your second question?
Second is the TIF proceeds of 262.5.
Oh, TIF. What's happening is the village is actually contributing the land that is upon which the second phase is being built at a cost of $1. We're buying the land for $1. So their form of TIF contribution came in the form of them taking the land that we would otherwise have a right to buy for. It was a $220,000 number, actually.
So the TIF calculation that's shown, there's no cash TIF support to the project from
Correct. Right there? Correct.
And then just, I guess, for the department or whoever did the due diligence on our side, the developer says there's a 550 or even 650, depending on, you know, gap, and asked us for the money. What was the analysis to determine that the gap, which is resultant from the 10 units, the 10 home funded units, what is the analysis to determine that 550 is a suitable contribution relative to those 10 units? I guess my concern is, yes, the project overall has this gap, but why are we filling it all on the back of the 10 units when it's only those 10 of the 33 units that are low-income units? So, you know, we're effectively then making possible the other 23 market rate units, but to what benefit in terms of the use of our home funds?
Ms. Lighty, or Mr. Bettoni,
you're right. Since you did the analysis.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Supervisor, when the developer submitted the sources and uses in the estimated pro forma, we did review them to see if the numbers made sense. We went over the line items. There are two criteria that we can depend on in a situation like this. Under home regulations, if there's a state financing agency involved with underwriting a project, HUD will accept that underwriting to the as theirs, frankly, as long as it's done in the standard that HUD's adopted, which is the case in this particular development. There is also subsidy limits that HUD establishes on a per-unit basis, and when the developer and JFS brought their request in, their per-unit request was below the cap that HUD's established. Now, if you're asking, could Milwaukee County somehow extend its influence over further units for the sake of this money, I suppose that's a policy question that could be debated. I think the other side of the coin is that they came in meeting the safe harbors, and based upon that, we brought this proposal to the committee.
You've given me a similar answer in the past. Those minimum standards really don't seem to me to do anything to identify whether our investment is legitimate investment relative to what we're getting for the units. No one on WIDA's side is looking at that. They're looking at the overall project, and they're doing their 101 different standards that they're measuring. They're not looking at whether the amount of home investment that we're putting in is justified for the 10 units we get. unless you know differently, but I mean, then why do we never get that documentation? There's never any discussion about how we've arrived at the number. It's simply the developer asked for X. Lo and behold, we pieced together three sources and we came up with X. And we think that we've sort of crossed enough T's that no one will question it. But I do question it.
Mr. Baton.
Madam Chair, Supervisor, that might be an interpretation of the process, but it's not what's happened. We've looked at the project. The numbers, we think, make sense. Now, I mean, I guess there's room for disagreement, but the bottom line is, I think, that the project has come to Milwaukee County. They've demonstrated a gap of, at the point of time of preferring the sources and uses, of $900,000. They were not asking Milwaukee County to fill the entire gap. They were asking for a piece of it.
Yes, I did. And also, you know, the due diligence that we're doing now on the special needs housing did not necessarily apply to this area. Maybe that's something that we can also apply here in terms of the due diligence that's done by DAS. It is permissible under HOME. And I think also with reference to the need, as we look at the need for affordable, accessible housing for folks who are elderly as well as disabled, it's huge in this community, as you heard them talk about the waiting list that they had. But I guess, you know, the issue in terms of, as Mr. Bottani said, that had been the practice in the division, we can certainly look at adding another due diligence to get at your concern on the home money as well. It is not something that we currently have. We're doing it on the special needs housing, and you'll see that from the next one. You had requested that before. But at least in terms of the gap of what they're going to need to come up with in our contribution, we certainly at that point felt that it was justifiable to bring forward.
Supervisor, if I may.
Go ahead.
We had a fairly large number of individuals who applied to Deerwood Phase 1 whose incomes were slightly above WIDA's maximum, $180 a year, $242 a year. Those are the people we're going to be targeting for the market rate units. We're not targeting rich people. This is an affordable housing complex. So in terms of our wait list, those are the individuals that we'll be going to. You know, they are just like the other folks in the building, but with incomes slightly above the WIDA maximums. So it's not going to be a bunch of rich folks and a bunch of people in affordable housing. We anticipate that there will be a mix of individuals, and there will really all be folks who really qualify for affordable except for a smidgen of income. Mm-hmm. And there were no waivers that we could get from WIDA for these folks.
Madam Chair? I'm always in a very tough position on this committee because of the fact that I've done these spreadsheets before. And what I'm asking the department to do is nothing different than what I've had to do for other municipalities before. I mean, the bottom line is if the project was a market rate project and it worked without subsidy, if all the units were market rate, would it work without subsidy? And And then what is the cost of getting those 10 units? And so that's what I think that we should be helping to fill, is the gap of the cost of creating the 10 low-income units. Now, so it gets to the question of, well, if we were asking for 12 units, or, well, I know there's the 11-unit limit on the home, otherwise you wouldn't want home funds. But if we were sliding the scale on this, where would the per-unit subsidy cost come in? And that's what I'm questioning, is whether we are, in fact, over-subsidizing it somewhat relative to the rest of the project for the units that we're getting. And that's the heart of my question, so I want to be clear that I'm not against this type of project. This is what I did for many years. So, but I, as my role here, is to make sure that we're getting enough units for our money, mm-hmm. and that is the crux of my question.
Go ahead.
But I just wanted to add that, and maybe this only begs your question, Supervisor, but this is very consistent with what has been allocated across the street for the supportive housing Bradley Crossing development. It's consistent with Berkshire Greendale in Milwaukee County, which was awarded to my firm, tax credit development. We had a gap. The number of home units in the award is almost identical, if not identical. And secondly, we were really looking, I think JFS is looking at this project as a whole. They will have 99 units, 74 will be affordable, technically speaking, and practically speaking, they are restricted units with WIDA, and 25 are market rate. And I think what you're doing, aside from sort of looking at 10 units where there still is a substantial private out-of-pocket investment and the cash flow doesn't really support it on its own, it's not a logical economic investment, if you're looking at it as a whole, you're looking at 99 units, and you're trying to create the right balance of market rate and set aside. You've got operational costs because it's a certified RCAC with fixed nursing and staffing and a commercial kitchen that was built, et cetera. I would suggest you getting a huge bang for the buck, and I say that with all due respect. Thank you.
One other question that's on a different track, which is that we're being asked to commit some funds that we don't yet have in hand in terms of program income. What's the timeline of the availability of those funds?
Madam Chair, in fact, Supervisor, at this point in time, we have received the funds that we would need. As you may recall, the program income is a sliding, moving target. It changes every day.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Supervisor Biddle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to get some clarity on what my colleague is saying in regards to this agenda item. So are you saying that we should be getting more low-income, potentially we might be able to get more low-income housing units for the investment that we're given, potentially given to this?
Madam Chair, I'm not saying that we can, because I can't overnight do the analysis that I'm asking. But that's the kind of analysis I want us to get from our staff, and I'm not confident that it's been being done. It's been a comment of mine for 3 years now, so this isn't new. And unfortunately, we always have it when we get to the table, because that's when I get the documents, is, you know, in the days before. But that's my concern.
Supervisor, let's start the floor.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think that it's a good project, but I would have to agree with the concerns of my colleague. Is if we're going to give this investment, then what is our maximum value for to get more? Or, you know, why can't we just get this analysis and just be done with the conversation and get this done? Let's just get the analysis and move forward. I think it's a reasonable request. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Why don't we do this before board day? Let's get a brief review of some other projects in the past, how much we've contributed compared to the number of units that have ended up resulting as part of the larger project, because I think you had brought that up, sir, that I think it would be helpful, at least for me, to know if this is a very large contribution mm-hmm. compared to past history or pretty typical. I hate doing math on the fly, But if you just start looking at some of the math, it's a $4.1 million construction project for 33 units. That's roughly, you know, $125,000 a unit. You multiply that by 10, and if that's anywhere near in the ballpark for the actual cost per unit, you're really probably building 10 units at $1.2 million. So is the $550 equitable? That I don't know, because we honestly haven't really traditionally looked at just that piece of it. We've looked at the broader project, which has followed the federal and state guidelines, et cetera. So we've looked at that broader piece versus whether there's a specific kind of what's the expenditure versus the overall cost to build it. But I think that's a broader question than just this item. I also appreciate the testimony that made it very clear that the 99 units in all, you end up with 74 affordable. I think that's a pretty remarkable achievement. But I do think we should have this follow-up about whether we should be looking a little bit more closely in the future at the specific units that we're getting out of it, and whether in some projects we're paying 50% of the cost of those or 100%, and whether we're actually backfilling the entire project. And because that will give us some leverages to then, even if it's a good project, to potentially say, well, no, it shouldn't be 10 units. We'll loan you the money, but we think you need 12 or 15. And so we can go from there. I think that's a logical follow-up as well. Supervisor Lipscomb.
Chair, I'll support it today if the department would also provide, not simply justified on the basis of we've given other projects
right.
this much, because if the method was flawed, the method was flawed, and so that's
mm-hmm.
not the good precedent. But to actually give me some due diligence before next Thursday, and
okay.
perhaps the developer, unfortunately, I don't know if we have internally all of what we need, and so you may have to rely on the developer to provide us a little bit more, if he could, to show me, you know, if it didn't have these units in it, it would work. It's these 10 units that create this gap. That would be helpful.
If I may, I appreciate that your support could be forthcoming today. We do have some time sensitivities. That the only way this particular debt program with WIDA works, and it's called their new issue bond program, is if they expend the money this calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sort of behind the eight ball, and we're trying to make sure we stay lockstep with them in terms of the approvals of that and the expenditure of those funds. I can tell you, just having played with the math and having eaten my head against the wall with the math, because this 33 units has proven to be the toughest nut to crack, that if we were not restricted by the income on these 10 units, we would support additional debt. That's exactly the analysis you're asking about, and appropriately so. We can make it work on a market rate basis, but that's not what everyone's after
right.
in the first case. And in the second case, you have the set-asides with the bond financing that are required. And then I would finally just point out, if you go and try and replicate 10 units on a standalone basis, you're going to spend more than $126,000, which is what it is per unit, in our project cost,
mm-hmm.
because we have efficiencies overall, frankly. We have efficiencies not just with these 33 units, but with the 60 supportive units that you're participating in directly across the street. And we really appreciate all the participation. It's just killing me, because I know in my heart of hearts it's justified. We're producing overall all these affordable units. I can only imagine, though, that you have certain fiduciary obligations, and I commend you for fulfilling them.
Mm-hmm. Mr.
Lehman,
did you wish to comment?
Yeah, if I may, my board, JFS Housing Board, discussed full market rate building.
Mm-hmm.
Unacceptable. It's not congruent with our mission.
To be clarified, I don't want a market rate building. I do want the 10 units.
Right.
My point is, I want to know that we are investing appropriately
mm-hmm.
to get those 10 units. So
mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly I want the 10 units, and it was only as an analysis tool that I was suggesting that you run it that way.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that.
Okay. Thank you.
And just for final clarification, in addition, I appreciate the point Supervisor Lipscomb made in the comparison. I still think the comparison is very worthwhile to do. And the bottom line is, if it's 126,000 or so a unit, and as actually those costs would be higher because there's the common areas, there's the eating, there's all those other pieces that you already have developed. But even if it's a minimum of 126 and you have 10 units, you're talking about 1.26 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so is 500, if the department is going to start looking more specifically at the specific components of the units that we're interested in helping fund, I think it would be helpful to have some guidelines from the department as to what you would consider the appropriate mix of funding, and what you would consider, where is it cost effective and beneficial, and is obviously the committee will have some say on that, but I think it's important to hear from the department, and part of that will be based on kind of the overall program as well.
Right.
Okay. All right, so but I still would like some brief review of some
mm-hmm.
of the other ones before board day,
okay.
at the very least, and then we'll also have this in this agenda item, not this specific project, but the broader issue in September as well. We need a motion on this item. Can we have a motion?
I'll move approval.
Okay. Supervisor Lipscomb moves approval. Please call the roll.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Wyshon?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Thomas?
Aye.
Bill?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
790 nulls. This item is approved.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, and we will make sure you get that information before board day. Thank you. Thank you.